Hi, everyone, and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
My name's Jen, and on today's show, we are in part two of It's Not About You, so come back right after this.
Hi everyone, thanks so much for tuning back into New Every Day, and we are in part two of a message called It's Not About You. Mm-hmm. And we focused on selfishness last week and how the root of selfishness is pride, when you want something for yourself and it's all about me. And you made reference of when we're planning our summer or planning events in the future, it's usually self-focused.
Yes.
And I'm totally guilty of that. Just last night I was thinking, when am I going to get to go camping? I need to plan that I'm going to get to go camping. Which
yes.
It's good to plan exciting things.
Yes.
But it should be exciting because it's for other people. So when we turn our hearts towards God and towards others, it leads to a more fulfilling life.
Yes.
And I just want to share a quote that I found by Helen Keller. So for those of you who don't know, Helen Keller was a woman who was born deaf and blind. Mm-hmm. And
actually, no, I listened to her book.
What?
She was born fully
hearing and seeing?
Yes.
What happened?
And then a disease came. Yes.
I need to look that up.
I know. So she had, for her first year of her life, she was completely hearing and seeing. And then a disease, I can't remember what it was, but that is what...
Meningitis?
Maybe. Or I know a friend of mine had chicken pox and caused her to be deaf.
Yes.
So I know, because I always thought she was born that way too.
And I totally thought that.
I know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Amazing. So Helen Keller, who is not born deaf and blind.
So sorry.
No, I want to speak the truth. Anyway, she gave this quote that life is an exciting business, and most exciting when it is lived for others. I love that she said that, because for someone who has had tasted and seen,
yes.
or essentially seen and heard,
yeah.
the goodness of life and the wonderful colors and all that we experience, and then to have that taken away, that's even more powerful.
Yes.
So she had a lot to be selfish and inward focused about. But the fact that she said that life is exciting when it's lived for other people, that's right in line with the gospel.
Yeah. And it's... I've heard different trains of thought of how we become sanctified, which is a big church word for becoming more like Jesus.
Okay.
Some people would say, well, you start doing and the heart will follow. So if you want to worship God, well, then just come to a worship service or turn on some music and start singing, and then like start the acting part of it, and the Spirit will follow,
yes.
right? So at least position yourself in a place to experience.
Yes.
I've also heard, though, the flip side that says, no, we actually need a genuine heart change before... So in my mind, I think you need both. Hmm. I think sometimes you just have to step out and the faith will come. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you do need the heart change first for the fullness of the experience. So with this serving thing...
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I tend to be most fulfilled when I am serving and meeting with others. But I also know, and this is the key point, I also know that we're also called to times of solitude so that we can spend time with God and be refreshed and renewed. And so, but what I struggle with is the balance between spending time with God, how much is enough, and spending time with others, how much is enough, especially for an introvert like me. And I have no problem with people who say, but you need to get away, you need to rest. And I totally agree, unless God puts an opportunity in front of you. And I've always been challenged by the passage where Jesus has just heard about the passing of John the Baptist.
Yeah.
John the Baptist was beheaded because of King Herod, and so Jesus has just learned about that, so he leaves his disciples, gets in a boat, and goes across. And so the people, though, the crowds, they say, followed him and met him on the other side when he just wanted to be alone with God. So he was to go, the goal was to get in the boat and go and withdraw. And the crowds were there, and when he got out of the boat, the passage says, and he had compassion on them.
Yeah.
And he healed their diseases. And then it goes on to say that he taught them and he fed them. There's 5,000 people, like 5,000 men. And that passage has always been like, oh, but God, I don't think I could do that. But Jesus said that we should be able to, that we will be doing things that are even greater than what he did. But the key is, like, that am I willing to surrender what, and this is what I think I need. Because sometimes I'll say, but I need this day off so I can serve the Lord. But sometimes the Lord, I think, puts opportunities to say, but will you trust me? If I give you this, will you trust me with it that you will still get the rest and refreshment that you need to continue to serve me?
Yes.
If this
if
is...
If you give this.
Yes.
This time.
Yes.
Of your time and your effort.
Because Jesus gave everything.
Yeah.
For the, it says, you know, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross.
Yes.
And it's like, okay. And the cross is was his means of death. Like, that was a sign that he was surrendering everything to God.
Yeah, when you look at the unselfishness of Christ, like, not only was he on the cross dying and suffering and dying for us to forgive our sin, when he was hanging on the cross, his mother and the disciple John were at the foot of the cross, and he said to his mother, look, here is your son. And to his disciple, look, here is your mother.
Yes.
Saying, you now need to take her in and look after her. And it said from that moment on, this disciple took his mother in as if she were his own mother. Like, to have that ultimate view of what's really important.
Yeah.
I want to have that.
So let's just think about that. And we will be back after these messages. So see you soon.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Thank you so much to our partners who make this show possible. Go to our website, neweveryday.tv, check out our partners page. And if you need to do some shopping, go on Amazon through our website, and that helps to support this show and make it possible. So thank you so much. And thank you so much for tuning in every week. We really appreciate it. And again, we love doing this. And I'm so appreciating this conversation, Jen, about selfishness and how now we've turned our focus towards Jesus, the ultimate example of being unselfish. And when I think about, you know, the most quoted verse, I think, in church, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The beginning of that verse said, for God so loved the world that he gave.
Yes.
And it should be the love of God that then compels us to give. But you were saying that sometimes we don't have that motivation in our heart. But I truly believe that God's love can transform our heart and change our motives.
Yes. And that's just it. What are our motives? Because that passage where Jesus talks about dying to self, before it, he turns to the disciples and he says, so this is Mark 18, starting at verse 27. he turns to the disciples and says, well, who do people say I am?
Yeah.
Well, some say a prophet and some say, you know, Elijah raised from the dead. But who do you say I am? He asks straight up. And Peter says, well, you are the Christ. And he's like, well, don't tell anyone. Because the nation of Israel was waiting for the Messiah to come and deliver them so that they could have a renewed nation.
For themselves.
So they knew that, or Jesus knew that if word got out because of their own motives, that they would come and they would hail him as king. And that's not why he came. And so Peter actually is coming alongside Jesus, and Jesus continues to teach, saying, but actually the Son of Man needs to suffer and die and be crucified.
And that's where Peter was like, no, Lord, it will not be. And he's like, get behind me, Satan.
Yes, because the motives were wrong.
Yes.
Like, in his mind, yes, he was the Christ, but the Christ to come and redeem Israel, not to redeem humanity for God. And that's where I remember asking myself, or making the statement, sometimes we get confused about Jesus. Like, we just get confused because we're like, well, what do you mean you're going to die? Because it doesn't make sense that in order to have full life or to give life to someone else, that you would have to die. That just doesn't make sense. And yet, and the Bible's very clear, and we understand this, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, no life can come from it.
Yeah.
And that passage for me was quite, I want to say, like, elbow in the side, because it's like, what are your motives?
Yeah. And like, it's crazy, because that came right after Peter said,
yes,
no, you're the Messiah. Like, I believe that you are. And then as soon as Jesus was talking about something that was counterintuitive to Peter, it was like, no.
Yes.
Get behind me. But you know what I like about it, too? Is that when Peter asserted that you are the Messiah, Jesus said, this was not revealed to you by man, but from my Father in heaven.
Yes.
So it was from God, right?
Yes.
But then when Peter said, no, that Lord, you will not die, blah, 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 Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. So that wasn't the real Peter.
No.
I like that.
So no.
Those motives are not coming from the real us or who we were made to be.
Right. And that's where Satan just can, you know, drop those little word bombs in our head to say, hey, that's not what you thought.
Yeah.
Right? And then he speaks out of the selfishness and the wrong motives. And what's interesting is even though God had dropped the truth into his spirit,
yeah,
he put wrong thought processes around the truth and spoke it out.
Yeah.
Which is so, I want to say, convicting for me, because I think, how many times do I do that? How many times does God drop something into my head and then I put my coding on it, my motives, my selfishness around it, because I think I know what's right, and then I put it out there. Mm-hmm. And that's not what God intended for that piece of truth. And I'm like,
that's interesting. I want to say it was Winston Churchill who said, the truth is so valuable, it's often protected by a barricade of lies.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's challenging because, and that's what comes back to the selfish motive. So, and I remember saying this to my church family. I said, you are a generous, generous people and they wonderful church family. But I want to look at what motivates us.
Yeah.
And it's in our relationships. It's not that there isn't a need and we meet it. We do. But in relationships, selfishness will permeate every single relationship.
Yeah.
And that's what causes pain in relationships.
Yes.
And that pain comes from selfishness and our own desires, even though we can be so willing to be in relationship with someone else, we still bring the selfishness with us. And that's why it's so important to go and look at the root cause and say, why am I thinking about that? Why am I thinking this way? And is that the truth? And God, would you help me? And I often say, help me to love well. Help me to love the way, Lord, you would have me to love, not the way I want to love. Because then it's like, well, what am I getting in return? So if I do this, what am I getting back? And that's not what Jesus wants either.
No, he says, like, invite the people to your house who can't pay you back.
Yes.
Because the reward will come from God. So countercultural thinking, right?
I feel like she just stabbed me again because another thought went into my head about someone I need to pay more attention to.
Oh, I know. And when we were talking about this, Jen actually had a list of things that are subtle selfish behaviors that you might not identify as selfish, because the devil likes, and I totally see this in my own life, like, he'll paint the selfish thought or motive with a varnish that makes it more attractive, or even seem like you're doing the right thing, or to protect yourself, or to put up barriers so that you are more readily able to help other people in the future.
I know.
No, but God says the righteous give without sparing. You just pour it all out and trust that he's going to provide for you. But the varnish can look like, well, even one of the examples you said, like forgetting someone's birthday because you're too busy with your own stuff. Yeah. Or
not phoning relatives
or like not giving someone a ride when you should give them a ride. Yeah. I was like, oh man, because I've said, I'm too busy. I'm doing this. And I use busyness as a guise for...
I know.
Doing meaningful things, I guess. And I was just thinking, Jen, like, okay, what avenue or what modality does God use through the Holy Spirit to then push that pride out of our life so that we can have our thoughts and intentions in line with him to be unselfish? And I really think that it's worship.
Yes.
Because in worship, it's where you see yourself in relation to God, and it becomes adoration for him.
Yes.
And I'm thinking of a quote. I can't remember who gave this quote, but worship is the quickening of our conscience by his holiness. And it causes creativity and awe when we examine his beauty in the world around us, and the beauty that we see within us, that he has placed his image on us, and then we give back in thanksgiving to God. And I think it's worship that really puts ourselves in the right position so we can live that out.
Yes. And that's worship with focusing on who God is, not what God can do for us. That's not coming to God and saying, I need this and I need you and I need you. No, that's like how great is our God?
Like just what helps you? Like,
just focusing on like the God aspect of worship. And that's funny because we think, well, but I do need God. I do need God, but I actually first need to know who God is. So I find Chris Tomlin is so good, and I feel like I've said this before, about really dialing in to who God is and leaving us like mighty, Mighty to Save is another example of just declaring who God is, how great is our God, indescribable, which actually Laura Story wrote. But Chris Tomlin sings a lot of songs that just focus in on who God is. And that's what we encourage you today, is focus in on who God is. Allow yourself to sit with the Lord and let him speak to you about maybe where some of those areas are in your life that you're holding on to so tightly, or some of the mindsets that you maybe have towards your husband and your wife, or maybe even your kids, or where you've allowed the enemy to whisper lies into your heart, like, I can't believe you have to forgive that person again, or I can't believe they're asking, you deserve better. And so we're just going to close in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to move. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd move in our hearts. Show us where we're being selfish. Show us where we need to let go and trust you. Help us to believe that you are God, and you will take care of all of our needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jen. Thank you so much for tuning in. And join us here next week for another episode of New Every Day. Have a great week.
See you later.